speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Will God continue to bless America? And friend, have you thought about those 56 men that signed the Declaration of Independence? Did you ever wonder what happened to them? Number of things that happened to those men that indicated that they knew what they were doing when they signed that. 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors, and they were tortured before they were put to death. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons that were captured. 9 of those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence died from wounds or hardships of the war. They had signed and pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And what kind of men were these? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers, large plantation owners. They were all men of means, and they were well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader, but he saw his ship swept from the sea by the British Navy. He sold his home and his property to pay for his debts. He died a pauper. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Congress without pay. His family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him. And what was his reward in addition to freedom? Poverty. Vandals or soldiers looted the property of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, and others of these men. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson, Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over their family home. Cornwallis had made that his headquarters. And so Thomas Nelson urged General George Washington to open fire, knowing that his own home place would be destroyed. And then later, Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and property destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home to find that his wife had died, his children were missing, and then a few weeks later, he himself died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Well, Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates, and such were the stories and the sacrifices of the American Revolution. And these were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means. They were men of education. They had security, but they valued liberty more than their security. And standing tall and straight and unwavering, the pledge they made was this, quote, "For the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor." And friend, they gave you and they gave me a free and an independent America. The history books never told you a lot about what happened in the Revolutionary War. We didn't just fight the British. We were British subjects at that time, and we fought our own government in a sense. But some take these liberties for granted. And when on the 4th of July, people are enjoying their picnics and their barbecue and their hot dogs, we need to be people who are thankful that we live in a free country. And as Christians, our goal in life is not to promote a political party over, and that being our only cause, but to promote the cause of Christ and to promote the cause of His Word. Our highest calling is not to express some political agenda, but to share the good news of the Savior with those who have never heard it. And because one Christian does not agree with another on some political issue doesn't mean that person is any less a Christian. But there's a time when Christians need to speak out about their freedom, because we're seeing so much of our freedom being eroded. I love America. I love what America stands for. I love our flag. I fly the flag out in front of my house. I love what the flag represents. And I believe America to be the greatest country on the face of the earth. I've lived in a number of nations, but America is still the greatest. And as Francis Scott Key wrote so long ago, America is the land of the free, the home of the brave. And our America has seen the hand of God's blessings again and again. In America, we're protected by law to meet, to pray, to share God's word without government interference. In America, we're free to say what's on our mind. The newspapers are free to write what they want. We can, and many of us, have criticized certain things about our government, and we're free rather than in prison because of those criticisms. In America, the government recognizes and protects the unalienable rights of each and every citizen. They are protected by the Bill of Rights. The Constitution of the United States offers us freedom. And so America is the land of the free, the home of the brave. But friends, as much as I love my country, I have to tell you that there are many things about our country and about our society that is very troubling. And I don't believe that God is blessing our country as He once did. And I believe there are some things that need to change, some things that really concern us. And I want to share with you some of the moral issues that we face as a nation. They may not be very popular. They may not be very pleasant. But there are some things that are going on that need to concern us. And it's dangerous for some people in America today. Now, God Bless America, the famous song, Land That I Love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. As Christians, we're pilgrims in this land, and we're just here for a short period of time. And spiritually, our citizenship is in heaven. Now, while we're citizens of America, and we know the rich heritage of our country, we are aware of the struggles for religious freedom that brought our forefathers to this country. We know the blessings of God that have been bestowed upon this country and its people. And this song, God Bless America, reflects our prayer for America and the prayers of many people, and perhaps Bible-believing people across the nation. We want God to bless America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And one of the first lessons we learn in life is we do not always get what we want. And we want God to bless our country. But if He's going to bless the country, then there are some things that need to change. And it's led one to ask, why should God bless America? In our country, the egg of the bald eagle is more sacred to the heritage of our nation than the baby in the womb of its mother. In our country, the habitat of the spotted owl is more worthy of protection than the habitat of an unborn child. And one of the saddest, darkest days in the history of our country was that day in 1972 when the Supreme Court legalized abortion, the killing of the unborn, innocent little baby who did not ask to be brought into the world. In the Old Testament days, the Canaanites worshipped their god Moloch. God issued instructions to the nation of Israel regarding how they should view the worship of Moloch and what would occur if they worshipped after the nations around them. The Scriptures tell us in Leviticus 18, verse 21, neither shall you give any of your offspring to offer them to Moloch, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. And in Jeremiah 32, verse 35, they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Well, what was this worship to Moloch? One historian describes it this way. quote, the image of his idol made of brass resembled a bull sitting upon its back legs with its front legs extended so as to form a sort of platform. On this platform, once the statue had been heated till it was burning hot, infants alive were placed to fry to death. Part of the worship consisted of the priest beating drums and cymbals to drown out the screams of the burning child. What an awful, despicable thing. No wonder God warned his people about getting involved in idolatry. And then there's further instructions, Leviticus 20, beginning with verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary, to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not. Well, it continues about the death penalty being upon such idolatry. The man who would worship Moloch was under the death penalty. And verse 3 said God will cut off that person. Verse 4, he cannot be overlooked. And in America today, Moloch is worshipped, but under a different name. He's worshipped under the name of a woman's right to choose. And in this name, we have degenerated to another group of Canaanites, who are maybe a little more sophisticated, yet we kill them before they're born, not to hear their screams. But if you listen closely, you can hear the silent screams of so many children dying. Can God continue to bless America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, when he destroyed a civilization that practiced what we practice? When we say we'd never do that, what about being aware of it going on and doing nothing? We can't bury our heads in the sand hoping this abomination will go away. And so can God and will he bless America? We hope and pray that he will. And he'll bless you, my friend, if in your faith you'll turn to Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing him before men, be buried with him in baptism. He'll wash away your sins, and you'll be free in Christ, free indeed.